If you give people a great ride and great coffee and all this, they will park and ride.
Welcome to Sincast, presented by CinemaSins.
All right, everybody, welcome to the Sincast. This is Chris Atkinson from CinemaSins, joined by Jonathan Watkins from CinemaSins.
Hello, hello.
Today, we're going to be doing a mini pod of Bad Education, a movie that went straight to HBO. Was it supposed to have a theatrical release?
I think maybe it was always an HBO film, but it definitely, I know it played at some film festivals because I had definitely heard about it, a lot of good word about it before we actually watched it. I mean, HBO might have bought it at the film festival, I don't know.
But it definitely feels like an HBO movie.
It does.
They do these kind of biopic scandal movies a lot.
Yeah.
This is about some superintendents in Long Island in 2002, I believe, embezzling money, or stealing money. Is it taxpayer money or is it?
Taxpayers, I guess donations, just anything. They were setting up all kinds of different ways to get it. They were just writing off the checking accounts and, labeling it in a way where people didn't suspect anything. They were setting up dummy businesses where the money would go directly to them.
Yep.
It's a pretty insane story that I had never heard of, but yeah, they ended up, I believe the final total was about $8 million.
So yeah, immediately, the one thing I was like, why did they call this Bad Education? Mm-hmm. First off, there's a Pedro Almodovar movie that came out like 15, 16 years ago.
Yes.
Called Bad Education that is really good. And then after you watch this movie, you're like, there's not really much about education in this movie.
No, I mean the thing that they're worried about when the board starts finding out there might be some things happening. The thing they're concerned about is they have a high ranking school. It's Roslyn, I believe.
Yeah, Roslyn sounds right.
They're currently at number four. I didn't know if that meant in the country or the state or what, but they kept saying they were number four. They were trying to get to number one, and they had kids. Like at the beginning, you hear this announcement about all the kids, the senior class. There's like four kids going to Harvard, three going to Yale, a bunch of kids going to Penn State, that kind of stuff, or University of Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
And so obviously, like, it's a very high, like, it's a school that if you succeed at, you're going to get a really good college wanting you. So I guess that's the education part. But I know what you're saying. Like that title, and it kind of sounds like a Lifetime movie or something. Like it gives it kind of almost a sleazy feel.
Yeah, this should have been called something else. And in fact, the writer, it's funny. I was reading stuff about the writer of this movie.
Yeah,
Mike Makowski, who was in this school district back in middle school, I guess.
Oh wow.
I guess he was in it before all this happened and everything. He ends up writing this thing, and he's like, and he says in the interview, he's like, the movie's called Bad Education, but blah, 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 blah. And he goes on to say that it's really about this and that. And yeah. I read between the lines. I don't think he's happy that it's called Bad Education.
That's very possible, man. Studios a lot of the time step in and make you title stuff. So,
yeah, I mean, I'm sure this was called like, Bad Superintendent or some shit like that. But, these people stole a bunch of money. They tried, I guess, in some ways to delete the paper trail. But they weren't very good at it. And so like this movie starts off with I've seen this girl before. Her name's Geraldine, another hard name to pronounce. Geraldine Viswanathan, I think. Viswanathan, who plays Rachel Bhargava.
Mm-hmm.
She is she's writing for the school paper, and she goes into I guess our main character is Hugh Jackman. He is playing this guy named Frank Tassone, and he see him. He's like the best. He's like the best superintendent in the world. Like he's shaking everybody's hand. He seems like he genuinely still wants to be a teacher in some ways. And he knows everybody's name. He remembers people from years ago.
Oh yeah. And he, like, I think when she comes, doesn't he say something like, oh yeah, you're whoever's sister.
Yeah, exactly. When she comes in, he's like, yeah, you're this and this person or whatever. And she's writing a puff piece about this thing called the Skywalk that they're building, in this school. I guess it's a means to get from one end of the school to the other. It's completely extravagant bullshit that nobody needs, but everybody's excited about it.
Yeah.
This is something that's going to bring this school to number one and everything.
Yeah.
And we don't get the sense that Tassone is really behind the Skywalk. It's more Allison Janney, who's the sort of the co-superintendent or whatever, or the assistant. I don't know.
Was that singles where this reminded me of the super, was it the super train?
Super train. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
For some reason, like, that's what I kept thinking of when I was watching.
If you give people a great ride and great coffee and all this, they will park and ride. And then Tom Skerritt, I'm going to give you my answer as easily as I can. No. Just like a close-up of his mouth.
Yeah.
The Skywalk does have similar, it does seem like that a little bit. She's just writing a puff piece, like how everybody's excited about it and everything like that. She comes in and asks Hugh Jackman like one question. Like, how are you guys feeling about this or whatever? And he's like, we are excited about the Skywalk and so on and so forth. And then she's like, okay, that's all I needed. And he goes, wait a minute. Is that all? You're just going to ask one question? And she's like, well, yeah, it's a puff piece. No big deal. He goes, look, you know, I mean, anything's a puff piece if you allow it to be, you know, go in and do some real investigating and everything. And sort of, it's like that oh no moment in movies where you're like, oh, she's going to find some shit out, isn't she?
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
So she goes to Allison Janney and starts asking about records down in the like basement of the school and all that. And Allison Janney's like, well, you know, you ask a lot of questions and all that, being real shady about it.
But then gives her the key to the basement.
Gives her the key. Yeah, gives her the key. So she goes down and gets all these records and everything. And she actually writes, an article that's got a lot of like financial details. Like it seems like this thing is going to cost way more than it really needs to, and everything. And she writes this big thing and Alex Wolff, who you'll recognize from Hereditary,
Jumanji.
Yeah, Jumanji and stuff like that. He's like the editor of the paper, and he's like, this is just too much. This is supposed to be and he goes and rewrites the article and everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But Rachel is still kind of mesmerized by the cost waste of all of this and everything. So she keeps digging. Meanwhile, we figure out that Allison Janney, pretty early into this, Allison Janney has been stealing money.
Yeah.
And that's not a spoiler. Allison Janney definitely stealing money. She lives in a house that's way, way beyond her means. And then when one of her like friends from the school or like somebody she's related to asks if she can get a PlayStation for her kid.
Yeah, she calls her aunt, so I assume it's her niece.
Okay.
She's at their house a lot, so I got the impression she might even live at the house.
Yeah, she asks her for a PlayStation, and Allison Janney basically says, just go ahead, take the card, buy yeah. it, and I'll take put the receipt on my desk. I'll take care of it tomorrow. And you're like, whoa, Jesus, this is okay. This is fucked up. It's not too long that she's found out, like, the, you know, that's the her son. Or is it her grand? Is it her son?
Yeah, it's her son. Yeah, he goes to like a Lowe's or a Home Depot.
He goes to like every Lowe's and Home Depot yeah. in the county, I think, buying stuff on this card and this superintendent card. and then it gets quickly found out from that.
Yeah, Ray Romano is on the board. He plays a guy that's on the board, and it's like a cousin of his or something works at, or like his brother-in-law. I don't know. Somebody that he's associated with works at one of these stores and, mm-hmm. and notices that that the delivery address was not the school. It was a house out like in another county.
Basically. Yes. Yes. Like he's going to stores that are outside the county. Yeah, that's right. He's going to stores outside the county. Why are they buying this yeah. amount of stuff in this place and then bringing it back here? Yeah. And Ray Romano is he like a real estate guy or something?
Yeah, I believe so. Like, I mean, they make a whole thing about how the board is a bunch of people that are making a lot of money in the community. And they're talking about how the main reason they're able to sell all this real estate and do all these, you know, have all these successful businesses is because of how well the school is maintained. And that's right. kind of where, Allison Janney, you know, I actually looked up I don't know if they say this in the movie, but the person in real life made $160,000 a year, which isn't terrible, but
yeah.
I know New York is a little different, but still not terrible. But yeah, I guess
160. I mean, they're also living in Long Island, so
it's
probably like an average salary or maybe just above average salary for all I know. Though I live there, I don't know how much $160,000 gets you in Long Island. I imagine it's not much. Yeah, imagine it's pretty average.
Right. Yeah. So she thinks she sees all these people on the board making millions and
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, but you know, these people aren't, they definitely want this stuff to happen, but they are also morally centered too. So,
yeah.
So they know that, I mean, they don't want the stuff that they find out to happen. That's for sure. They're not willing to look at, like, just sort of overlook it. So right off the bat, she's found out. They go to Hugh Jackman, who's playing the Thomas Massone character or the Frank Massone. I said Thomas, playing the Frank Massone character. And they go to him. And what are we going to do about this? And so it's decided that they'll let her resign quietly, but she's really getting fired. And then she's going to have to pay back what they believe is only $250,000. Because that's the only things that they can find. The auditor who has been sitting there just letting this happen because he just trusts everybody.
Yeah.
It can only find $250,000, but there's a lot of missing paper going on in here, and they don't know if it's more than $250,000.
Mm-hmm.
But they just say, "Oh, let's just pay back the $250,000, and you resign quietly, and everything will go away." And spoiler alert: even though we're not in spoilers, and I won't tell you what the spoiler is, that's just the first 20 something minutes of the movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It really is. It really is. Get into what we thought, I guess, of the movie before we get into spoilers. I really did like this. There's great performances. That's the main thing. That's one of the things here. I mean, Hugh Jackman is outstanding. Maybe one of his best roles I've seen in a while. Allison Janney is always really good.
I love Allison Janney.
Yeah, she's adds so good so much.
All the time. It just no matter what role, I mean, it's she kills it every time.
Even like a pretty generic sitcom like Mom, you know, she's outstanding in it. And I really like. I had never seen I had never seen the actress from the one whose name we can't pronounce, the Geraldine.
She's in Blockers. I was going to bring that up while I was trying to fumble her name, but yeah, she's in Blockers. I think she's got like glasses. She's real made up real nerdy in that.
Yeah, I haven't seen Blockers, so I don't think I had seen her in anything before, unless she was just maybe in a TV show or something. But she's great. She's really
appealing, really, and like her, real kind of actress.
Yeah, and her character is made up, basically. I mean, there are I think elements of her character that are real, that involve real people. But she is a fictional character they created for the movie. The actual how much the school newspaper had to do with everything is a little different than the way they portray it.
Yeah. There is a girl who got a load of information. She didn't go and do a bunch. In fact, she's readily admitted this. She didn't go and do as much digging as Rachel does in this movie.
Yeah. Well, no, cause she was given a tip, right?
She was given a tip.
Like, yeah. That the Allison Janney character was involved, the Gluckin character. That was another funny thing about her character. They no one could ever remember her last name because she got married so many times.
They're like,
I think she's Pam Gluckin right now. I'm Pam White. I don't.
Yeah.
But it's good stuff. I'm going to give it an A minus. I was kind of teetering between A minus and B plus. It's not quite an A for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I am going to give it an A minus because I think especially towards the end, it gets like, I mean, that lasts like 30 minutes or whatever. I was pretty riveted to everything that was going on. Jeremy actually tweeted out that he had watched it and he was curious if it would have worked better as a six episode series. And I don't know, but I do feel like some of it gets rushed early on because they want to get to that point.
It doesn't. It does. I do think it does get a little bit rushed. And I can't right now. I can't recall where I thought that it did. I think it might have been better as a six episode series.
I mean, or just even like I would have been okay with like 30 more minutes. I mean, it's right around 2 hours or hour 45. So I mean, I would have been okay. But I know, but it's HBO. They've got to have it in that 2 hour time frame. And
And I think that's fair. Like to really explore some of these characters a little bit better would have been nice. And to understand where a lot of these people were coming from, I think with a limited series, you can kind of like explore characters like in the past a little bit more, and you're not trying to rush to get to that conclusion and everything. So, I'm going to give this a B plus. I think there's something about these HBO movies that always seem like they are made for TV, and there's a little bit of a lesser quality thing going on with it. It's hard to put my finger on. I don't know what it is. There's just something about it. Like it's not, I can't imagine seeing this movie in a theater is what I'm saying.
No. Like Extraction, I could totally, you know, we talked about Extraction before we talked about this to bring that up in case you're listening to this and not the Extraction podcast, but Extraction, you could definitely see in a theater. I'm okay with watching it at home, but I agree with you. This is not a movie that, even though I know it played at festivals and people really liked it, this is not a movie that I would probably, I don't know. It doesn't feel like something
just
you would see.
Just imagine this coming and like having a trailer and it's like, it's not elevated to that point. And one day I will finally form the words to sort of explain why I don't think this movie could ever be in a theater, but there's just something just a little bit less about it.
Yeah, because even something like Bombshell, which I guess you could kind of compare this to, like it's kind of a sensational story like that, but Bombshell definitely, even if you don't like the movie, that feels more cinematic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or like the Big Short, something like that. Like there's something, there's stuff going on there. This just feels more like episodic, I guess, would be the best way to put it.
All right, so let's...
Which is kind of why we're saying it could be a TV show.
Yeah. Let's move on to spoilers on this one.
No spoilers! And that's basically his Kaiser Sose.
Luke's father is actually Darth Vader. She's the sister and the daughter.
No. I'm reading the books.
Obviously, the big spoiler, unless you already know the story going in, is that Frank Tassone is like also in on this. It looks like
big time.
It looks like Allison Janney, the Pam Gluckin character, stole more money, but Tassone has, I mean, there's no real, like, I mean, even though she stole more money, he stole a lot of money and he stole a lot. Did a lot of shady crap. And it's kind of a fun twist on, I like how this movie makes him out to be the good guy for a very long time.
Yes.
Even, you know, and you were introduced to him like you would be introduced to a stranger. He comes up and you find out stuff like, oh, his wife died X amount of years ago. And he's having trouble with that. 'Cause there's a point where one of the women, from the schools tries to seduce him, mm-hmm. and he pulls back and he points to his ring on his fingers. Like, it still feels fresh, even though it was like 30 years ago.
Yeah.
So you start feeling sympathy for him and everything. And then he goes out to a bar and he notices one of the former students, mm-hmm. this dude who's like bartending or whatever. And then they start up a relationship and you're like, oh, okay. It's not so much that his wife died. It's because he's gay. And
yeah. And there's a really good moment after he leaves the house when the woman, is hitting on him. He runs into Allison Janney back at the school. And he tells her the story and she's laughing and she's like, well, she's definitely not your type. And he's like, nope.
Yeah. And so like, so you're like, okay, there's some details here and there. And then as Rachel goes through her investigation and she finds the one of the great scenes of this movie is when she's got all the papers, lined up in her bedroom, and her father, who, was, I guess, fired because he was, at least knew about some of his stockbroker buddies doing insider trading.
Yes,
even though
that's what he says. Yes.
Even though he himself says he wasn't part of it, he comes in and he looks down at the papers and he starts like helping her out and everything.
Yeah,
and they start calling all these different addresses, and it's so fun when he calls this one. He calls this one address on one of the invoices. And the Allison Janney's husband from her, like from his mechanic shop, answers. And he answers the mechanic shop and he goes, oh, I'm sorry. I thought this was supposed to be A&L, whatever construction. Yeah. and the guy is like, well, no. And like, it's a really awkward situation. Yeah. He can't, you know, and they basically just hangs up. And then there's one address that's on there that she goes to investigate. And I'm kind of surprised she's allowed to just do this on her own.
Yeah. You know? I wondered if he knew that she was going. 'Cause I mean, I just know as a father, like I might go with my daughter, but there's no way I would just let her go.
Even if she's like 16 years old, even if she's 16 and she rides around on trains all the time and all that, going to somebody's place that's a part of possibly a conspiracy or whatever.
Yeah.
I wouldn't let her do that. But she knocks on the door and she sees this guy who's just, you know, had we seen that character before? The, Hugh Jackman's husband?
I do not recall seeing him before that scene. So if it was very brief, but I do not recall seeing him because he's a secret.
Yeah, she goes to this, sees that guy, but then when she's about to leave, she sees Hugh Jackman arrive, and that's when we know for sure that he is behind a lot of this, is because he shows up to that address while she's there.
Yeah.
That's your pure Hollywood moment, because there's no fucking way that was going to happen in real life.
Yeah, for sure.
She just happens to be there and Hugh Jackman shows up and she realizes, oh, he's at the address where they were fake invoicing places and everything.
And it's crazy too, because then shortly after that you get a scene with them at school, and it's just like, he's just one of those characters where it's just like, he thinks he's still going to get away with this. Like, that this is still okay, that he's going to be able to control this. Like, I think that's kind of his thing. He always thinks he can, because I mean, I guess if you have the audacity to, like, if you have the gall to take money like that, I guess you believe that, you know, you just have to have people around you that you can control, like the accountant or the auditor. Like, he was one of the, because he even confronts him at one point and says, hey, I found some weird stuff. Like, there was something where he flew to, like, London, like on the Concorde.
Yes. $5,000 first class tickets. It ended up, and he took his boyfriend with him.
Yeah.
And so like, it ended up being $20,000.
Yeah. And he's telling the husband, like, I mean, he's telling the auditor or whatever. He's just like, yeah, I mean, I don't make the reservations. Like, that's Cindy or whatever. Like,
yeah.
Like, that's going to clear it, you know? And then he turns it on him somehow.
Yeah.
And then the guy at the end of the conversation, the accountant's apologizing to him.
Yeah, that's the thing about a lot of the stuff in here is that everybody who tries to do anything on him, he's got something to come back that's going to hurt them. Like the auditor, of course, just pure negligence on his part, that he just kept looking the other. I mean, he didn't know he was looking the other way. He just trusted those people implicitly. Too much and allowed all this stuff to go on. And then Allison Janney's niece says something about, you know, well, you know, you, I know how you treated her and all that, and I'm going to come out the papers and say this and whatever. And we found out during the discovery of all that Allison Janney stuff that she bought all this stuff from, like, what was it? There are two stores that she
Macy's went to. And I don't remember what the other one was.
She
it was
spent
Macy's.
Like $3,000 on like a Christmas gifts and stuff like that. And Hugh Jackman looks at her necklace and goes, "Oh, where's that necklace from? I think I've seen that at Macy's somewhere, right?
Yeah.
or the other store
or whatever the other one was. Yeah,
right." And she's like, oh, okay, because he's sending her down into, like, he's making her the Milton of the story and sending her down into the basement to work and everything where she can't be seen anymore. This movie's really good. It's and like I said, the real reason why it's not like elevated to like A status is that it just doesn't have that weight of a real like meaty movie.
It's a little more, I mean, and this is okay. It's a little more quiet, I guess. It's a little more low key with everything. Like, I think, like, maybe this is good that it was on TV, because I think if it had been a theatrical thing, maybe you would get something a little more sensationalized like Bombshell, which does work against Bombshell, even though I do kind of like that movie. But it is Bombshell, right? I'm saying that right, aren't I?
Yeah, okay, the Fox News thing.
Yeah, for some reason, like when I was saying it, it wasn't sounding like the right movie. But
yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. But there's this great moment. It's a really small. And I got to tell you, I am loving this new Ray Romano. Like,
me too.
Like, whatever he's choosing to do now. Like, I'm sure he's got plenty of money from his sitcom and stuff, and he's just kind of doing whatever he wants.
Oh, he's got
sure he's not
plenty
being offered,
of money. Yeah,
yeah, and I'm sure he's not being offered like starring roles, but he's taken these supporting roles, these really cool movies. Like, he was in The Irishman, and he was in that movie with he played the Kenil Nanjiani, right? He played his father-in-law.
Oh yeah, The Big Sick.
Yeah, isn't he in that? Isn't he like her dad? Yeah,
he's in that.
But anyway, so in this though, there's this great scene when he finds out, when Hugh Jackman finally gets outed, and he gets outed in the movie by the school paper, which that seemed a little weird, because I was kind of surprised that like Hugh Jackman the superintendent wouldn't have gotten a copy of that before it printed, but I don't really know how all that works.
No, I know that I worked on my school paper.
I did too.
And I never had to run it. Well, I ran articles to the editor who may or may not have sent it to a partner or something, but I don't remember them doing that.
Yeah, so maybe that was legit, but I love, so Ray Romano finds out, and there's just this scene with them talking on the football field, and like I felt like in most movies they would have handled this scene a little differently, but like the way they handle it in this movie is just perfect. Like, I mean, Romano is not like trying to find a way to like, you know, bury it or anything. He's just like, you need to get help, man. He's like, I hope you get help.
Yeah, that's same here. My initial thought about 20 something minutes in when Allison Janney was getting all this, I was like, is this going to suddenly turn into Allison Janney trying to figure out how to get back at them, or people trying to cover it up and doing stupid stuff to cover it up and all that. And I'm glad that a character like Romano, who has so much to gain from covering it up, is really got a moral center to him the entire time.
Yeah. Cause there's even that part where Jackman's just doing, Jackman's character is just doing anything he can to try to get him to not, you know, turn him in or not fire him or whatever. And he's like, I can get your kid into Harvard still.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ray Romano just turns to him. It's just like, I hope you get help.
Yeah,
and then just walks away. And it's just, it's a really nice scene. It does feel more TV, but it's still a very nice scene. And even at the beginning, once the plot twist that Hugh Jackman's behind it, although you do get a hint early on that he is, because when they go in there and tell her she has to resign, she's looking at him really weird, like, wait, what's going on? You know? There's something up, you know.
Well, and she leaves the note, her quote unquote exit interview, where she says, "You're the one who's the sociopath," or "I'm not the one who's the sociopath."
Yeah, yeah.
And you wonder what she means by that, but because there's so much left in the movie, you know that it has to be, you know, he's behind it.
Yeah, but it's so cool because that board meeting where, you know, Jackman's playing it off like which he probably is freaking out, but he's just like, I need water. I can't believe that I never noticed she was doing this. And, you know, and everybody's like, no, it's okay. It's not your fault. And then he basically saves the day. He's like, no, we can't turn her, because they want to turn her in.
Mm-hmm.
They want to, like, the board wants to throw the book at her. They want her to, they want to call the police, you know. And then he talks them out of it, because he's like, you know, let's save the, you know, because that'll screw up, you know, people won't get into colleges because the colleges won't want the kids from the school where there was all this scandal, which actually doesn't make a lot of sense, but he talks them into not turning her in. And then they act like he's actually the hero of the day.
Yeah.
And then you come to find out the reason he did all that was because he's even into it, maybe as deep, if not more, than she is. And he doesn't want to get found out. And then you get the impression he uses some of, you know, well, I know in real life, the actual person, his receipts that were false and his, you know, things he put on her once she got found out,
mm-hmm.
making it seem like she had taken more than she actually, had. They don't really show that in the movie that he does that,
but in the real story, that's what happened.
Yeah. But I thought that was interesting. So I thought that was a really cool thing. That was a really cool scene to look back on once you get the twist.
Mm-hmm.
This movie just it's layered very well. Like, it plays out like in a really interesting way. And I was also really glad they didn't do the thing where like this would have been a movie too, where I think a lot of people would have started in the future and then we would have gone back.
Yeah.
You know, I'm glad they didn't do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Where they're like, you know, here's what happened, and now, that we're getting ahead of ourselves. Yeah.
Hugh Jackman wakes up on a beach.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's another great moment, too, though. There's no beach, but he goes, I don't know if he thinks he's going to get away with it at this point, but I guess he doesn't, but he goes to Vegas to see his lover and has a night out with him, and then the cops end up arresting him. In Vegas. I think it's in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's right.
I'm not sure. I know that there is a point where they're trying to get the husband to talk about him, and Pat Healy showing up. I love Pat Healy.
Oh yeah.
I love the tactics. It's where he's like, where he's like, did you know about a wife he had 30 years ago? And he's like, no, I didn't know about a wife. What about this? Did you know that he bought a house with this his boyfriend just like 2 weeks ago? And it gets him on that. Okay, now I'm gonna dump on this motherfucker.
Yeah, I'm gonna sell this motherfucker out.
Yeah,
because they act like it's one of those things where the cops act like, oh wait, you're his husband. Yeah. But then obviously they knew all along that right. Hugh Jackman's character was gay and he had that other lover and everything.
Yeah. And I'm glad they didn't go through the whole, watch this, this is what we're going to do. They just, you know, they just go right into it.
Yeah, no, it's, I mean, I don't know what else to say. It's a really good movie. But like you said, I mean, but it's definitely a movie for television is what it feels like.
Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just that there's something about how a regular movie that comes out on big screen somehow elevates, and it may be camera angles, coloring. It could be like a number of things that tip you off that this is not like your typical movie that made it in the theaters, but whatever, it's not a big deal. It's a good movie. You should watch it.
Absolutely. Especially if you're a fan of any of these people, because they're all great.
Yeah, absolutely. Acting is top notch all the way through it. Yeah, for sure. What did you guys think? Go to Sincast, presented by CinemaSins on Facebook. We're also on CinemaSins Twitter, Music Video Sins Twitter. We are on SoundCloud. We also have a Discord. If you want to get on Discord, you can go to the Reddit page and find the link on the right side of the page. Or you can go to Facebook and private message me, and I'll give you a link there. Where can people find you, Jonathan?
You can find me on Twitter at SamLoomis13, and you can hear me almost every week on Behind the Sins with Aaron Dicer and Danae Hughes.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for this mini-pod. It's Chris Atkinson and Jonathan Watkins. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening. Comment on our episodes on our SoundCloud page. Check us out on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Reddit. And be sure to visit CinemaSins.com.